Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And happy Friday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a Target Demo Friday. We have released the Kraken. When you see Carlos with a K dancing to the beat in a $600 Versace shirt looking all spooky, you know it's spooky season, bro. Let us know where you are, how you are listening on social media, and if you think that shirt is wonderful or horrendous. We'll read those coming up here a little over 90 minutes from now. Coming up this hour here on the show in 20 minutes, how exciting is this? Your football food of the week going into week number 3 using FatGPT. This is exciting stuff. We have gone into the lab. We have dialed up artificial intelligence, AI, and we have tried to crawl into the artificial brain of Meraz. And through it, we are giving you what we think an AI Meraz, a.k.a. the Porkinator, would deliver for your football food of the week. This week, a cheesehead jambalaya burger. A cheesehead jambalaya burger. We'll explain coming up here in 20 minutes. Also, this hour, we are stunned to a news, and in 40 minutes, the Giants get blasted last night by an elite Niners team. But let's begin with the Bears here, coming off a wildly chaotic week. The Bears already are 0-2. Expectations coming into the season was that Justin Fields might turn a corner. Justin Fields on the offense might level up. And the Bears might just very well be a plucky wild card playoff type team. Instead, they got blasted themselves by the Packers week number 1. And last week, laid a total egg against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so they're 0-2. It doesn't get much easier on Sunday. It's a late afternoon kick on Fox as they travel to Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Now let's talk about two things here for the Bears. Number one, Justin Fields. That's been the talk topic du jour the entire week. Some people saying, how dare he question the coaches? Other people saying, well, of course, he's a great quarterback and he should say things like that and just be himself because the Bears coaches are a bunch of clowns. I fall in the middle because I think if you are too hot on either side of this debate, you're missing the truth. This is the truth. Justin Fields doesn't have any professional success or credibility for us to automatically assume the coaches are screwing him up. And that if only the coaches didn't screw him up, he would be great. We have no evidence of that. We have seen flashes where he's got a wonderful set of wheels on him. We've seen occasionally a good arm on him, but we have not seen him put this together to win. We have not seen him put this together enough times to say, oh, that's what he should be. There is not, we have not seen a that's what he should be yet. On the other hand, you cannot automatically say that Justin Fields is a total bum and he shouldn't ever dare question the coaches, because the coaches also don't have much credibility in this space. These coaches inherited Justin Fields. They didn't choose Justin Fields. This offensive coordinator wasn't the OC in Green Bay. He was passing game coordinator. This is a front office and a franchise and ownership that has turned over time and time and time and time again. So A, there's very little stability. B, they don't have any track record of choosing the right people. It's possible Eberflus, Poles, etc. are the wrong guys again. You cannot say one way or the other whether Fields is getting screwed by his coaches or the coaches are getting screwed by Fields. There's no way. There has to be a combination of both right now. There has to be. And as I said before about Fields' comments, it's probably not the best look to say, quote, coaching is the reason I'm playing robotic. At the same time, if you look at his press conference in its totality, he wasn't consistently blaming the coaches. In that moment, he did use that as a reason why, but he would go on later to say, I've got to do more, I've got to be better, I can't let that slow me down, I've got to digest more. So he did take his share of responsibility, and he has not been a guy through 2+ years of his career who has been a guy that's made excuses or pointed fingers. That's not been who he is. So he might have hit a bit of a break point, or maybe just a rare moment of candor that came out the wrong way. At the same time, I think Justin Fields is struggling to be something that he's not. He is not right now a franchise savior, something that was put on him when he was drafted. He is not right now a pocket passer, something that the coaches seem to be forcing him to be. He is not a guy that's processing well. And that's just something he needs to be better at. Because, okay, can you get overloaded by information? Sure. Can the scheme not be a perfect fit for you? Sure. At the same time, every good winning quarterback in the NFL gets a play, has worked on it in practice, has worked on it in the preseason or camp or whatever, and has an idea of what should look like. And if it doesn't look that way, has a pull lever in case of emergency. And Fields doesn't have that. He's dropping back to pass, and he's like, okay, it's supposed to be here, and it's not. It's supposed to be here, and it's not. Sack. So there is just a responsibility that Fields has to have to execute a game plan that's installed, and he's not doing it. But if you come in super hot on one side or the other, I just think you're losing the truth of what's in the middle of this story. Fields hasn't proven that he's going to be great no matter who the coach is. Might have Bill Belichick, might have Andy Reid. And the Bears coaches certainly don't have any credibility in this space yet either. Number two, I actually don't think Justin Fields is the biggest story of the week for the Chicago Bears. People know Fields. He was a star at Ohio State. High draft pick at quarterback. He's a name that people have drafted in fantasy, perhaps bet on in their FanDuel account, what have you. So people know Justin Fields. We talk about Justin Fields. My guess is prior to Wednesday, you had no idea who the Bears defensive coordinator is, and I don't blame you if you didn't. That's fine. Alan Williams resigning from defensive coordinator before week two of the regular season, combined with a house raid by the FBI and perhaps raid or information gathering at Hallis Hall, is the biggest story of the week in Chicago. That's the biggest Bear story. Because number one, if a coach in the NFL resigns midway through the year, it leaves you scrambling. That is a significant side of the ball for the Bears. That is an important piece of any winning team, is consistency, stability, expectations, accountability. And you're just taking a leg out of a three-legged chair middle of the season, saying, go ahead and sit on that for now for 4 months. Hard. Secondly, how would you feel if you walked into your office one day and your boss was getting raided by the FBI? Do you think it'd be easy to focus on work following that? I have a friend that works for the FBI, and he says, we're not looking for anything. We already got the case when we come in. If the FBI raids your house, they know what they got already. And if they're coming to Hallis Hall, now the Bears are arguing whether it was a raid in Hallis Hall, but multiple reports have said from Chicago, also Pat McAfee seconded this yesterday, sources are saying there is definitely a raid on his house. Sounds like it could have been information gathering at Hallis Hall by the feds. Maybe not a raid. Maybe it's not as we think, like SWAT team jumps in, smashes down the door, bum rushes Alan Williams' office, takes the laptop and immediately starts downloading intel. Might not be that, but the feds might have reached out to the Bears and been like, hey, we've got a case against Mr. Williams. We're going to need to come in and do some data tracking. And what are the Bears going to say? No? They say, yeah, okay, fine. And that might be what's getting lost in the sauce of the definition of raid. Either way, a guy at the top of the coaching staff, this isn't quality control, strength and conditioning, the defensive coordinator at the beginning of the season, in which you don't replace these guys midway through the season, had the feds raid his house, reportedly. Now, we all know when the feds raid a house, it's for something pretty lurid. And whatever that is, maybe will come out. We think it'll come out, what have you. But the guys in that locker room have to be like, what the hell? And now, their first game without their defensive coordinator in full, because last week Eberflus took over the duties right before this happened, they go to Kansas City. I mean, there's a reason the line right now is 12.5. If the Bears get stops, it'll be a damn near miracle. And the only reason this number isn't 18 or 19 probably is because the Chiefs offense hasn't looked that great so far this season. But that's the biggest story, that you got a guy in the building that's running the defense that's into something so deep the feds raid his house. That's the biggest story. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Couple of interesting matchups on Sunday, although it pales in comparison to what is happening on Saturday. We mentioned that food mashup, Saints and Packers. Saints are 2-0. I don't know how many people are taking them seriously as a threat in the NFC. I'm not yet, but they are 2-0 traveling to Lambeau to take on the Packers, who blew that lead late last week against Atlanta. Jordan Love at Lambeau, 2-0 Saints, 1-1 Pack. Patriots and Jets is a big game. It's a big game because the Jets are 0-14 of the last seven seasons against the Patriots. So the Patriots have won seven straight at MetLife Stadium. They sweep them every single year. If the Jets come into a year where it's Super Bowl or bust, then lose Aaron Rodgers week number one, then watch Zach Wilson lay a turd in week two, and then lose for a 15th straight time at home to an 0-2 Patriots team, how do you even emotionally recover? If you can't beat 0-2 Patriots once in 15 tries, how can you emotionally recover from that? So that's an enormous game, and if the Pats lose at MetLife, they're 0-3. 0-2 is one thing. 0-3 is a big, big task. And, you know, I don't know if the Commanders resonate nationally yet, but Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy's offense is really interesting, and they host the Bills. That game could be a fun game back and forth offensively and a barometer for both. If the Commanders are good enough to beat the Bills, they would move to 3-0, and the Bills would fall to 1-2. If the Bills go to D.C. and win that game and maybe win it comfortably, you might say, okay, the Commanders are frauds, and now the Bills are starting to round into form after their blowout win last week. Those are some of the ones I've got my eye on this weekend in the NFL. When we come back on the show, Fat GPT delivers the Porkinators football food of the week, and we're stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Where moist pork has a very different meaning. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Very. Listen to us on the free app, free Odyssey app, and the free CBS Sports app. Speaking of moist pork, DA watching on Twitch today. Carlos with a K shirt's a little pricey, but I'm all about pushing the envelope a bit when it comes to clothing. I like the shirt. Just get it for me in a tie and we're in business. Hashtag, that's what's up, dog! Carlos with a K gonna cruise. That's what's in. Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. I am met pretty consistently with a very bipolar reaction to Fat GPT and the football food of the week this season. Half the people that listen are like, this is such a cool creative idea. I love it. Half the people are like, this is way too creepy. I don't really know how to process it. It's not funny because it's so weird. And I want to let you know that's exactly where I want to exist, right in that uncomfortable in between. Kind of like Carlos with a K shirt, right in between. And so, you know, Mraz has left the show for the local side of things, and he's doing wonderful, and we're all rooting for him, and that's awesome. His football team's not as successful, but to be expected. But I felt like, you know, football food of the week, it can't just be given to anybody, at least not yet. So me and Cap have gone into the lab, and Cap has whipped up an AI version of Mraz, which we've called the Porkinator. He's kind of like a cyborg Mraz. And we take a matchup of the football weekend and try to find the most grotesque cuisine combination that ChatGPT and AI can create. So we looked at Packers and Saints and said cheese, cheeseburger, jambalaya, maybe the two go together. It's time for the Porkinator's Fat GPT cheese burger cheese head jambalaya.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Imagine yourself in your favorite team's jersey that is two sizes too small, surrounded by fellow fans at your favorite backyard bar, and you are transformed into a spirited mini stadium. It's time to whip up something extraordinary. A fusion of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and New Orleans, Louisiana, right on your plate. Hey, did you know I could have gone home with CR? Our star player is this week is a patty that's as bold as your team's plays. It's a blend of ground bratwurst and finely chopped andouille sausage, grilled to perfection for a taste explosion. Melted cheese curds, a dash of Cajun seasoning. This beer cheese sauce is as fancy as Carlos's shirt, decadent enough to rival any luxury shoe Carlos is selling on eBay. Then add some spice with our fiery crawfish etouffee sauce, a taste as hot as a new shirt from Carlos's Closet. Now it's time for the winning drive. Picture a football-shaped patty slathered in beer cheese sauce and crowned with a generous scoop of piping hot crawfish etouffee. Top it off with the other bun half, and there you have it. The Big Game Bayou Brat Burger. This burger is a culinary touchdown, combining Green Bay and New Orleans flavors to perfection. In the realm of game day gastronomy, the Big Game Bayou Brat Burger is the MVP, a dish that'll have you cheering for your team and your taste buds in harmony.
Okay, the Big Game Bayou Brat Burger. I'm not sure why FatGPT would pronounce closet close it. That's a pretty standard word.
It feels like Sean is breaking FatGPT. As it learns more about Sean, it itself is somehow getting dumber.
What's amazing is that it is so good, and Cap is training it so well, it can take things from today's show and weave them into the recipe. I mean, the conversation we have about his closet, Carlos with a K shirt, happened an hour ago, and AI is already learning that.
Yeah, this is where I don't like it. This is where it's freaky. I miss Sean. I'm happy to hear his weird computerized voice. But then those things happen, and it reminds me of the power of the machine that Kaplan is now controlling. And I don't know what that means for our future.
Not good things. Carlos with the K seemed immediately very freaked out by it.
No, I'm all out on AI. Like, I've seen this movie before. There's countless training seminars called iRobot. It gives you the blueprint. AI is going to turn on us. We should all keep an eye on your phone. Don't trust it. Keep an eye on these AIs because it's going to come for us. The revolution will be televised.
Isn't it wild, though, how much that sounds like Mraz?
So I thought it was him. I looked at EJ. I'm like, there's no way that's AI for like the first 5 to 10 seconds. And then it said like burger and like kind of like sounded distorted. I'm like, oh, wow, that is AI. So I am really put off by this. Plus, dude, it's taking shots at me like the real Mraz. So I already don't like it. I'm going to call this AU. It's artificial unintelligent.
EJ, there's got to be a comic book you've read that has this as its centerpiece.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot. I mean, there's plenty of comic books, robots. It almost feels like a little bit of a maybe a Superman Brainiac situation.
Okay.
For sure. Oh, yeah, Brainiac, the AI computer.
Dude,
of Krypton.
Ultron,
yes, the created AI by Tony Stark. Yeah, this is definitely bad. And we have there's a new show now where Ultron gets all the powers of the Infinity Stones. Imagine a AI Mraz with the ability to basically bend reality. How dangerous or interesting would that be? I mean, would it just be raining cheese curds? Would we just have, you know, fountains of barbecue sauce? Like, what would that actually be like?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes and yes. It would be that.
If Ultron has the power of the Infinity Stones, is that kind of like KD going to the Warriors?
Oh, it's like KD. It's like if KD had all the powers of the Warriors in himself.
If KD was the 92 Dream Team by himself.
Right.
Wow.
That's basically what it is. So imagine if an AI Mraz had that kind of power. scary
God forbid,
sight.
No.
Big Game Bayou Brat Burger, this week's FatGPT Football Food of the Week. Mark is in Ohio this morning here on the DA Show. Mark, good morning.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you, Mark. What's up?
Hey, when Russell Wilson was traded to the Broncos, I called in, and I received a lot of flack from you, Mraz, about my opinion and I told you guys that Russell Wilson had no grit and that he was going to be terrible and that the Seahawks made a great decision getting rid of him. You guys just gave me so much slack. You said, how dare I question Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, and his reputation, and that I was just a fool from nowhere just questioning future Hall of Famer. I just wanted to let you know that I stand by that Russell Wilson will continue to be garbage. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Mark. I can't say I specifically remember that phone call, but if that is the case, you definitely win the argument, no doubt about it. In retelling it, though, it doesn't sound like what I would have said, that I would have somehow defended Russell Wilson by calling him Mr. Unlimited. Like, we've made fun of Russell Wilson on the show for years. We've mockingly called him Mr. Unlimited and followed it up by him saying diarrhea poop.
Could this have been another Madden curse situation or Madden hex situation?
What we hear about this supposed Madden curse. Yeah. But, look, I don't remember it. Props to you, Mark, if that's the way that went down. But it doesn't sound like that's exactly the way that it would have went down. I don't feel like I had any bone in my body that ever went to bat and died over defending Russell Wilson.
It's Mr. Unlimited.
Not really been the tenor or the tone of this show most times when it comes to Russell Wilson. We have taken a bat to that pinata many, many times, even before he was in Denver.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride. Bogue says headlines.
Broncos country has passed on that ride. They're walking instead.
We're good. You go ahead of us.
For those of you still bashing Oakland A's owner John Fisher, shame on you. This is a smart businessman. He built the fortune he used to buy the team.
How dare you.
And now he is smartly moving it to Vegas. But if you need more evidence of his high quality, Fisher and the A's gifted the retiring Miguel Cabrera an expensive bottle of wine last night, one worthy of Cabrera's Hall of Fame credentials.
Good.
One that apparently costs $90. Yet people saw the picture of Cabrera getting the bottle before last night's 7-3 Tigers win, did a quick little Google search, and it's a bottle of Camus. 2020 Cab Sav, which is currently on sale for $90, or the same price as Carlos's left sock.
Do you think Miguel Cabrera could have afforded that on his own?
I think he would have been okay. Yeah, I think he probably could buy the winery itself. How do you give a guy who has made hundreds of millions of dollars a $90 bottle of wine?
Bogues, what do you get the guy that has everything? You know, Miguel Cabrera.
Nothing.
Miguel Cabrera has everything I'm sure that he wants. What's wrong with an extra $90 bottle of Camus?
Do you think they even bought it, or was it just already in stock for an Oakland Coliseum suite?
Yeah, that definitely feels like something that was already around the stadium. And it was like, oh, right, we should give something to Miggy. What do we got? Well, there's a couple of extra bottles of wine because nobody's rented the suites all season. Oh, yeah, that's good. Quick, what is that? This pregame? Yeah, we got to do a pregame. Yeah, grab one of those bottles of wine.
$90. On sale.
Bet your sweet A's. That ownership is such a piece of you know what. I can't even properly verbalize what I think of John Fisher, but this tells you everything. You're going to let that guy remain an owner and move him into a market where I would think Major League Baseball would want to make sure that it succeeded. Why wouldn't you force John Fisher to sell to a local ownership? There has been ownerships like the Warriors owner, Joe Lacob, who has offered to buy the A's, keep them in the Bay Area, get that ballpark done, and then you give an expansion team to Vegas with real ownership, with somebody that actually gives a rip, has a brain, and didn't have mommy and daddy give him the gap. But what do I know?
Yeah. And all of that when the Rays, who we thought were poorer than the A's, have $700 million for a new stadium.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
John Fisher's pathetic.
The Giants 7-2 losers at Dodgers Stadium last night. They're now three games behind the Cubs and Marlins for the last NL wildcard spot. The Cubs fell into that tie with last night's 8-6 home loss to the Pirates. The Phillies topped the Mets 5-4. The Orioles 5-2 losers in Cleveland. Their lead on the Rays in the AL East is down to a game and a half. Thursday Night Football was kind of close on the scoreboard, but the Niners were always in control. It just took them some time to run away from the Giants.
Kittle's a left wing with Ray Ray. They're going to throw. And here's Purdy going to throw one deep. Wide for Debo. Made the catch on the back shoulder. Touchdown! San Francisco!
And a back shoulder banger for Debo Samuel.
Tim Ryan, Greg Papa, Niners Radio. Brock Purdy threw for a career-high 310 yards, two scores. Six catches, 129 yards total for Debo. The Niners a 30-12 runaway for their second 3-0 start in 25 seasons. Purdy likes that, big boy.
It's huge. Obviously, you want to win every game, but you know, we have a high standard. We have a standard that, you know, we want to be the best versions of ourselves. And you know, so for us, it's sort of like, yeah, we win the game, which is most important, which is great. But there's stuff out there that we can, you know, clean up and be better at.
The Niners.
Did you see that this clip went viral? Al Michaels said that the Niners have won four Super Bowls and said 200 Bill Walsh, 200 George Seifert. Now, maybe it's splitting hairs because it happened a long time ago, but Bill Walsh won three Super Bowls and Seifert won two. So they have a total of five. Again, something that is it that big a deal, maybe not, but I thought it was curious considering Al Michaels called all of those games. He was the lead Monday Night Football voice during the yeah. Niners dynasty.
He called Three Rivers last weekend. He made a mistake on, he knew he called the Vet in Philadelphia last Thursday.
The Vet hasn't been around in 25 years.
Last night was as disinterested as I can remember hearing him. It just, he didn't seem to want to be there.
Yeah.
He sounded like he was annoyed by things. There were awkward silences. There wasn't much actual, like, play-by-play. I mean, it was just, and we need him because Herbie's still limited from the NFL standpoint. If we don't got Michaels, we got nothing on that broadcast.
You wonder if NBC saw this train coming and was like, you know what, we got to get out before Michaels really loses his fastball. Because now this is the second year of him on Thursday night. And I think it's been pretty evident since week one of last year that Michaels isn't what Michaels used to be.
And it's one thing to just lose the skill because it's hard. It doesn't sound like he wants to be there.
I know.
Like, it's almost like he's like, guys, I'm just trying to watch a game. Like, leave me alone. Like, stop asking me. Like, there was a bizarre tone last night, at least from me watching it, that he was like bothered by us asking him to call the game for us. The Niners have won 13 consecutive regular season games now, and Christian McCaffrey's rushing touchdown tied him with Jerry Rice for the longest TD streak in team history. It's 12 games. The Giants, meanwhile, 1-2. They managed just 150 yards of offense. Only had the ball for 21 minutes playing without Saquon Barkley and the starting left side of their O-line. Barkley told the Amazon Prime crew that he did, in fact, suffer a high ankle sprain. We were told Monday it was just a normal sprain. Barkley still thinks he can play next Monday against the Seahawks. First for them, the Panthers, who should be starting Andy Dalton on Sunday, because Bryce Young has an ankle injury, and Cowboys corner Trayvon Diggs suffered a torn ACL in practice yesterday. And now, we're getting stunned.
Woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
It's possible I'm catching the early dementia that Boyle believes he has.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't remember doing this as a stunned, but it was presented to me by more than one D-Alien as a follow-up to a stunned, so I don't know if it was done by somebody when I wasn't here, or if I'm completely forgetting it.
Yeah, I remember us doing it. I don't know if you were on updates.
I do remember doing the story where you could rent this out for your wedding. But we're talking about the Wienermobile, which Oscar Mayer renamed to the Frankmobile back in May to celebrate their all-beef Franks.
Yep.
And people did not like the change then.
Nope.
They did not change their mind in the subsequent 4 months. So as of this week, it is back once again to the Wienermobile, with the company writing, quote, "It's been a fantastic summer But like you, we missed this wonderful icon. Wonderful icon. Help us welcome back the Wienermobile.
Do we think this was done on purpose? Because they knew that there would be some outcry, they could get some attention for it, and then turn it back anyway, change it back anyway.
And now they've gotten two news cycles out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, nobody in Oscar Mayer's corporate office, headquarters, CEO, marketing gurus or whatever, could have thought America wanted the Wienermobile to become the Frankmobile. Nobody could have been like, yeah, that's going to be a really popular movie.
And when people know what a, like, you say, oh, I'm in the Frankmobile, they know it's a hot dog? I mean, I know people associate Franks with hot dogs, but, like, if you just didn't tell somebody, oh, it's a Frankmobile, I may think, or if it's October, is it Frankenstein themed? Like, do they have green skin and bolts in on the side?
No,
of
but it wasn't spooky season in May when this, right, when this came out.
Well, I think that if you could, if you called the Wienermobile the Frankmobile, how would anybody even know it's called the Frankmobile? It doesn't say Wienermobile on the side of it. It's just a big Frank that says Oscar Mayer.
Right.
So this is where I think Oscar Mayer marketing, some type of guerrilla marketing campaign by some type of Zoomer or something, is like, yeah, we're going to change the name, and then we're going to send out a press release, and everyone's going to be really upset, and social media's going to go crazy, and then later on, we're going to change it back, and people are going to, and then we're going to get this attention and that attention, and then the DA show is going to talk about a stunt to a news.
We're going to get two stunt to a news. They love follow-ups. Bogey says it all the time. He loves follow-ups.
If it works for Prince, why not the Wienermobile?
Why do you guys' marketing voices both sound like Shep? You guys are channeling your inner Shep, like, hey, we're going to change the Wienermobile to the Frankmobile.
Right. Deep thinkers, well-thought-out plans,
yeah,
a sympathetic tone to the voice.
Oh, yeah, that's why he said it.
Yeah.
I actually ran into the Wienermobile when I was doing a cross-country trip to Texas after college. One of my best friends of the world moved after graduation from Syracuse down to San Antonio. And I said, I'll drive with you. I got no job. I got no, nothing. So drove down there and we ran into the Wienermobile at a Taco Cabana, I believe. Just outside
Mixing
San Antonio.
Metaphors.
Yeah. And I met the kids in the Wienermobile. And they were very nice kids. They were about our age. And then they seemed like they were having a really good time. And I was like, that seems kind of like the life. If it's not European backpacking, you're kind of living out of the Wienermobile after college to just basically do a PR tour. And maybe they were hooking up in the Wienermobile. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of cool. And then when Mraz and I went down to the Super Bowl in Atlanta a couple of years ago, maybe the Final Four, the Wienermobile drove us.
Okay, but see,
around Atlanta.
I'm glad you got here because the last time when we did the wedding story, we got to this story, and I thought you had the vehicle wrong in one of these. I think the Super Bowl one was Mr. Peanut.
You're right.
Was like the nut bus.
You know what?
Excuse me, what did you say?
Yeah, now that you say that. You're right.
Right.
And I apologize.
Twice.
I drove with Mr. Peanut to the Varsity in Atlanta in the nut bus. And I'm so sorry that I mistaked
that twice
for the Wienermobile. That was my mistake. And I feel terrible.
I had the wrong bus. My bad.
After I thought that it was the Commanders who jumped out to a 21-3 lead earlier in the week. Now to mistake the nut bus for the Wienermobile, I feel like a total idiot.
And I don't think AJ was here yet the first time it happened. The original mistake, you can't blame on AJ. This one, if you wanted to go down that well again like Broncos, you can. But the first time you forgot about the nut bus, that was just on you.
Look, I'm just a pathetic individual. I'm just skating by. It's a house of cards around here. Total charade every morning for 4 hours.
Cash and checks.
And I need to talk less. That way I get exposed less. The Frankmobile. Frank. There's nothing romantic about the Frankmobile. The Wienermobile. That's got something. Got some juice.
That's
got
to be like a podcast or a book. There's got to be some stories. I believe they're called hot doggers, those that drive the Wienermobile.
Oh.
They've got to have some stories. Like, You park that in a motel in Texas, someone's going to try and steal it every night.
I was going to say, like, this is reminds me of one of the things that you can't have in New York City. Like, you cannot have a Wienermobile in New York City. I imagine.
I disagree
wholeheartedly. The debauchery that will happen. Really?
Yes.
How do you K-turn that bad boy in the middle of Times Square?
Logistics, driving, that's one thing. Vandalism, yes. People will take risque pictures with the Wienermobile, but the Wienermobile will be where you left it the next morning. But if you go to different parts of the country and you park it in the hotel parking lot, people are taking that thing and then you're never going to see it again.
I guess so. I don't know. I've seen some weird things in New York with this, with less. I just feel like the Wienermobile will find out that it was parked inside an MTA bus depot. Or will find out it somehow made its way onto the subway. Like, I'm thinking of all the worst imaginable stories I've covered on New York One, Spectrum News New York One. And I feel like the Wienermobile would become like a running trending topic for us.
The Wienermobile was found sunk into the bottom of the river underneath the 59th Street Bridge at 4 a.m.
The Wienermobile covered in human waste in a ditch at the Bills construction site.
When we come back on the show, the Niners cruised last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I have dementia.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Niners easily dispatched of a shorthanded Giants team that was without their left tackle Andrew Thomas and their running back Saquon Barkley. Wasn't that surprising. So I don't think the outcome was it gave us much, but I do think there are some kind of larger pieces of the puzzle there. And it is that the San Francisco 49ers didn't need a win over the Giants to tell us they're one of the best teams in football, but it reinforces that they're one of the best teams in football because there's so many different ways to beat you. And that what happened last year with discovering Brock Purdy still looks like a legitimate answer at quarterback week in, week out. I think last year the narrative was, can he keep doing this? And this year the narrative is, they've got a good quarterback. And that's a pretty significant differential from where we stood last year. Now, it was the end of the season after obviously both Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo go down due to injury, and that's when he took off. But I would have thought there was going to be some regression. I would have thought after a full offseason, defensive coordinators would have had some stuff dialed up for them. And I think what Wink Martindale and the Giants assumed was that we are going to dial up pressure, blitzes, and make him work fast, and we're going to force him into problems. And I think why they did that was they did not think that they could answer score for score with a beaten offensive line and no Saquon last night on the road in a short week. I think they thought the only way that we're going to beat the Niners is if we hurry and force mistakes from Brock Purdy and get a pick six or get a defensive scoop and score or create some big turnovers where, all right, sack, fumble, recovery, now we got first and 10 from the 18-yard line. I think they needed something like that a couple of times last night to win the game, to flip the script, to grab the momentum, and it just never happened. So that's why they blitz Purdy all the time. But what Purdy did was very calmly pick it up and dump it off. Whether it was Debo who had a big game, McCaffrey had a big game, Purdy hit Kittle a couple of times. There was a number of plays last night where Purdy either knew the rush was coming or picked it up very quickly and said, okay, this is the decision. And the Niners certainly have really good skill position guys, even though they were down Ayuk last night. But when you watch a Brock Purdy do what he's doing, doesn't it bring into focus what Justin Fields and Zach Wilson don't do? You know, people like to blame a lot of things when a young quarterback who's got big expectations doesn't work. And some of those times, it's fair. But some of those times, we get enough of a body of work to be like, well, at some point, a quarterback needs to see something, and Purdy is seeing it. And again, Purdy has a good support system. But Purdy sees those things and operates the offense. Right now, Sam Howell's seeing those things and operates the offense. And Zach Wilson and Justin Fields see those things and don't know how to operate an offense. So I think that we've now gotten to the point where the 49ers just have a really good quarterback. It's certainly not a win in spite of. It's certainly not a let's just make sure the quarterback doesn't make mistakes. The quarterback's an asset now. And they're great on defense. They've got great talent on offense. They have a good quarterback, a smart play caller. They've got everything that you need to win a Super Bowl. And no matter what the Cowboys are or the Eagles are trying to figure out how to be, right now the Niners are the best team in the NFC. And right now you could make the argument the Niners are the best team in the NFL. When we come back here on the show, we'll talk to Randy Cross, College Football Hall of Famer, CBS Sports Analyst, on all things football coming up next. Speaking of former great Niners, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.